Now, our speaker is a diva queen. You guys are in for a treat tonight. Hey, I talked to her on the phone today. She's awesome. She's got 9 years. She's from Porterville, and I can't wait to hear her story. It's going to be great. Guys, give her a big hand for Nikki.
Yeah. I didn't know that this was like a stream.
It is.
And they can. I don't like any of this.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm Nikki, alcoholic.
I'm Nikki.
Hi. My sober date is September 9th of 2012. So I wrote down the exact date because I was never a date counter. So. Today is 9 years, 6 months, and 28 days. I got a text from Bill probably in like February and was like, hey, do you mind? I think he said leading, you know, or whatever, this meeting. And I said, eh, sure. And then he said, okay, we'll pick these dates. So I picked this date. And then I said, so what? Do I just read like a daily reflection? And then they like, is it like popcorn style? And he's like, no, it's like an hour speaker. And at that point I'd already committed and I really was like, oh, you know, and I'm grateful that I didn't know because I would not have, probably said yes. But I'm supposed to be standing here right now. And if you are here, you are supposed to be here. And I believe that.
That's right.
So, I did not know that this was going to be also live. And then, you know, so I'm just trying to adjust. I don't like microphones. I'm really loud. And so I haven't spoken in a meeting in quite some time. I want to tell you a little bit about my current family before I go into my family of origin. I have 4 children. Adam is 19, and he just moved out. And then Jade is 3. And I have twin 18-month-olds, Willow and Violet. So, yeah, best of luck. So this is a really big night out for me. I'm in bed by 7. I don't do peopling outside of, you know, mandatory things. So I was a little bit nervous, and I want to talk about that for just a minute to get it out and over with. I, even though I recognized and I prayed for my higher power to use me and to speak through me and that I am not significant, you know, there's nothing special about me or anything like that. It's still unnerving to get up in a room like this. I still am self-centered. I still am, you know, oh, what will they think of me? And what if I say something stupid? And what, you know, and so that still is alive in me today. It doesn't last as long. I have a lot of wonderful tools to combat it, but it still shows up. That's still the first, oh, but then, and then I just say, it doesn't, you know, it really doesn't matter. I am here to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. And so I am nervous, and that's okay, you know, and I want to say that because you will have an opportunity in your journey to get up here, and I hope that you say yes, and you will be nervous, and I hope that you will just walk through it, okay, and trust the process, and I know that even if you, not one person gets anything, I know I'm going to get something. And I am here for my sobriety today. I'm showing up today for my sobriety. And I do hope you get something. But so I'm not like reading these things, but one of my anxiety points was feeling like a pinball game and being like over here and over there. And so for myself, I wrote a few things down in case I get a little bit haywire. I wanted to talk about, you know, the traditional, what I was like, what happened to change me, what I'm like now. So my family of origin, I was born into my grandmother and my mother. My grandmother is the resident alcoholic. I did not know that until I was in my 30s. I adored her tremendously, and she could do no wrong. My mother, an adult child of an alcoholic, despised her mother, and I just couldn't see it. I didn't understand it. And we had what is often referred to as the martyr drama triangle. You know, somebody's always the persecutor, somebody's always the rescuer, somebody's always the victim, and we took turns in that role all the time. So I grew up with some real subtle toxicity that you really couldn't pinpoint, but you just knew it was there. I don't spend a lot of time speaking of my drinking as maybe some people would like me to, but that's because I feel as though we kind of all know how we get here, and I don't need to tell you everything that I drank. What I can tell you is, in high school, I started with a wine cooler, and within weeks, I was just drinking straight out of the vodka bottle, because I drank for the effect immediately. And what I also can say, I realized this today, I used to say, in my shares that, you know, I have a high bottom. I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose, you know, my kids to the system, and I didn't lose my, you know, I didn't get a DUI, and I didn't lose my job. And you know what the truth is? I lost control. I lost control of my boundaries. I lost control of my temper. I lost control of my mood. I lost control of my ability to think clearly. I lost control of my ability to parent the way that I felt I was supposed to be parenting. So I lost a lot. And in my earlier years, I struggled with denial, right? And I wanted to be that different, uniquely, you know, what is that? Terminal uniqueness. So I was like, well, you know, making excuses, making sure you know I belong here. And let me just say, if you think you belong here, you belong here. And I encourage you to own that. I was really moved by the chip processional. And just so you know, in my head, it was the Soul Train and you all were dancing. I felt a little ill-prepared for tonight, but sitting there watching people and listening to the days, it really brought me back to that first year. I did not do any in-person meetings the first year. I did them on the phone, and I did not celebrate my first birthday. And so I want to congratulate, I have forgotten your name, but you have a year and 4 days. Congratulations on that. That's awesome. And I think that the youngest I heard was 5 days. 4 days, that's incredible. And I also am really touched to see the babies and the children. You know, my 19-year-old went to meetings with me. And it's a uniquely challenging and beautiful time to be getting sober as a new parent. And I applaud you guys. I also wanted to talk about the kind of character that I had, what I used to be like. You've heard that. It doesn't matter where I am, who I'm with, or what I'm doing. I want to be somewhere else, with someone else, doing something else. That was how I felt all of the time. You know, restless, irritable, discontent. I had the hurry up and wait. Let's go, let's go. Why? I don't know, but we got to go. You know, let's go. Let's hurry. Get in the car. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's get there. I had that really strong. I had somebody tease me once, and I didn't even understand why it was funny until, you know, much later. But they got me a bumper sticker that said, you know, you're entitled to your wrong opinion. And I was like, yeah, I'll let you have your wrong opinion. I don't even know why that's funny. the idea of picking my battles was lost on me, because every battle should be fought to the bitter end. At any cost, my sanity, your sanity, their sanity, you know, you didn't bag my eggs right. I'm calling the corporate office. And and that is how I walked around the world. I was right, and you were going to know it, and bow down. Also, what I was like was judging my insides by your outsides, and that started in elementary school. I wanted the in crowd, the girls, to want me to play with them. And, you know, I just wasn't cool. And that carried on my whole life. And what that looked like as I grew up was I only liked and accepted myself to the degree that I perceived you liked and accepted me. And so I was always trying to manipulate the situation to make sure that you saw me in the most pristine light and that you would admire me, like me, want me around, think I was the funniest, or, you know, and I didn't have good boundaries. I did whatever. And I think that's kind of, I heard once and I liked it, like for a 3-minute share, that it would be ideal to have a minute on the problem and 2 on the solution so that the solution is greater than the problem. And I do believe that we all kind of have an idea on how we get here. So I do want to get into the solution and how it shows up in my life. So I'm sweating, you guys. So I show up, and I took all the suggestions that I was willing to take. And I know that sounds like obvious, like, duh, that's what we all do. But I struggled. That first year, after I did my 5th step, my sponsor said, now I want you to go home. And the book talks about that. Go home, get on your knees, say a prayer. And I said, do I have to get on my knees? Like, who are you to tell me how to, like, you know, I picked every battle and all of that. And it was the first time that I felt my self-will in a physical form, because when I kind of, at that moment in that conversation, I felt that lump in my throat and I wanted to cry and I felt as though I was losing something. But I knew that I needed to take this suggestion, and it was painful and life changing. And that's how I have done my recovery. Everybody does it different, and I do it not anymore. I'm a little more willing today because I have seen and have reaped the benefits tremendously from my life in recovery, but for the first couple years. But why do you want me to do that? Do I have to do it that way, like the 4 columns? Can I do it like this way, or do I have to write it? I'm much better at typing. And so you know, I really I struggled, and that is how I am created. And I believe it's for a purpose to share with others like me. And I like to share too that I did not find the sponsor that I have today until I was 4 years sober. I changed sponsors. I don't know. I mean, I guess some people would call it frequent. But what I want to say about that is I have a personal dislike for the concept of sponsor hopping or sponsor shopping. I think you have to be true to yourself, and I think you have to really check your motives. But I was not sponsor hopping or shopping. I was trying to find my sponsor. And so I have a real sensitive place for that, and I like to share that. And I've been with the sponsor now since I was, you know, 4, and I'm 9 and a half. And that's really cool. That's really cool. Sponsorship is a valuable tool. I also did not concede to my innermost self that I was alcoholic until I had 4 and a half, 5 years sober. I did not know that I didn't concede to my innermost self. But, you know, I showed up and I did what I was told, which is I can only participate and share if I identify. And so I want to be included. And remember, I can only like myself to the degree that you like me and accept me. And I want to be here because I feel the spirit of the brotherhood. There's something powerful here. And I yearn for that. So I'm an alcoholic. But I wasn't quite sure I was. You know, I'm just going to stop drinking for now and get all the benefits of like a spiritual growth. And then when I retire, here's my vision. I'm in the rocking chair and I got something cold in my hand and I slowly enjoy it and we're fine. Okay. And, it might have even been longer than 4 years. I think it might have even been much longer now that I'm thinking about it. And as I stayed sober, oddly enough, my mind would often think of a drink more. It wasn't the compulsion. It was more the, like, I remember I was driving in Bakersfield. And a Tennessee whiskey truck pulled out in front of me. I've never even drank. It was like honey Tennessee whiskey. I don't know what it was. And I watched that thing drive by. I may have even drooled. And I was like, oh my God, am I an alcoholic? And I'm like sober for years at this point. And I have, you know, and I have had that kind of thought. Like, if only I could drink. I'm 9 years sober. And every so often, I'm like, but is there a way? I don't want to drink. It's my ism. It's the way my, I don't want, I am so happy. I have been gifted a life that I don't deserve. I don't ever want to give that up. But that's how I'm made. So I did concede to my innermost self. And it was really weird to get that and talk about it being in the rooms for years. That was really weird. I felt like I was unveiling, like, what a fraud I'd been or something. But, you know, it says that the only requirement is the desire to stop drinking. So, you know, I'm grateful for these rooms. The principles of these rooms allow us to be, period. And I'm grateful for that. My spirituality has changed. I don't know another place where that is not only accepted but encouraged. So I was thinking I wanted to talk about a couple things. Oh, by the way, when I found out that if I end early, you guys ask questions, I got super excited. And I was like, I really want some questions, so I'm going to end early. It's something thrilling about that. Like, oh my gosh, it's going to come. So I wanted to talk about a few things that have stood out in my journey that I have personally really held on to. You know, there's the slogans, and everything stands out different to people. But these are a couple things that have really, really carried me along the way. This is from, I wrote it down because I don't, I have very little memorized, and I don't need to. I have the book. So this is from the big book, page 62. It's the paragraph that talks about selfish self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we stepped on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some point in the past, we made a decision based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. That last line, I hold a grudge. I will wrestle an issue with my sponsor for months. I will do the 10th, and I will do it again, and I'll do a fourth because that one's not working, and let me see if something else comes up. And I struggle with the yeah buts like you could not imagine. Yes, I yelled at her in the parking lot, but she was a bitch. Pardon me. Like, duh. And I like really, and depending on how close the transgression is, determines how long I hold on to it. I mean, I got in a thing with one of my closest friends, and we just every time I could, and I'm writing it, and I'm seeing the crazy thing is I'm seeing my heart. Right there. I get it. But I can't let, like, I'm incapable of letting this go. What am I missing? What am I not doing? What's wrong? I am just made that way. I struggle with certain no longer. And this last line is where I focus on. I'm going to give you an embarrassing example that happens, you know, recently. I wanted to benefit from getting multiple things in the mail that I have mailed to my house. I could have one thing mailed, but I couldn't have two. Like, the company only gave me one, but I wanted two. So I'm like, oh, I know. I'm going to send it over to so-and-so's house. By the way, so-and-so's brother is active in every sense possible and just pops in whenever they want. But that point, I choose to ignore. So the package arrives and goes missing. And I'm like, where's my package? And she's like, I don't know. The post office said it was delivered. And I was like, it's your piece of trash brother. And she's like, you don't know that. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And so then I am fit to be tied. I'm disowning them and everybody on the block. And I can, the audacity. I am fuming. And my boyfriend comes home and he's got to hear the whole thing every day for a week. And I am just so angry. And finally I call, you know, a sponsor, and I said, can you believe this? You know what? I want my pound of flesh. You know, so how do we go about this? Do I have to go to the post office and get a video? There's not, you know what? I bet somebody across the street has a ring. I could get video footage of him taking the package. And so she talks to me. She said, you want to do a quick little 10 step on this? And I was like, no. I said, sure, fine. So we do it, and in the end, she said, but you knew that things get stolen from their house all the time. I said, yeah, but so? And she reminded me again that I made a decision based on self. I wanted two. I was only allowed in one. But nay, I will get two. And now he's the MF-er, you know, and I'm owed something. And just like that, gone. Just like that, I had to go. That's right. That's right. I didn't. Whoa. And not only that, but I wasted a week of my serenity over that. And we'll move on. So, I mean, none of you are like this, I'm sure. But with, you know, this is a great segue into my second point that really has stood out, and I'm very grateful for this. I am a big fan of the 12 and 12. I got nothing against the first 164. Thank you for them. But the 12 and 12 is my jam. In step six, page 65. So step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Is AA's way of stating the best possible attitude one can take in order to make a beginning on this lifetime job. This does not mean that we expect all our character defects to be lifted out of us as the drive to drink was. A few of them may be, but with most of them, we shall have to be content with patient improvement. I carry that phrase, patient improvement, in my back pocket. Because I'm not kidding. What I just told you happened like 2 months ago. And then I'm real good at like shaming myself. You know, like, oh my gosh, you're going to go speak and tell them when you just acted a fool. And then he asked you what your home meeting was and you were like, let's just skip that part. And, you know, and I'm like, how am I going to do that? It's patient improvement. I don't need to degrade myself. I have my experience, strength, and hope. This is a little fun one for you. So step 10, the spiritual axiom, page 90 in the 12 and 12. It is the spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. If someone hurts us and we are sore, we are in the wrong also. So let me tell you something fun about living with a sober alcoholic as a partner. On more than one occasion, I've been mad. And I will say something like, I am so mad. You need to know why I'm mad? And he will say, because of your spiritual condition. I'd like to talk about it. Boy, it really chapped my head when he does that. And I'm like, because now, if I continue to act a fool, he's right. But if I'm like, oh, no, honey, then, you know, I can save a little face. And then, you know, basically, you know, a couple miracles that I've received. I used to have a real problem with gossip and bad mouthing. It's honestly how I made all my friends in the beginning. I'm like, do you know her? Do you want to team up against her? Cool. But I know. I'm not going to say I no longer do it. You know, patient improvement. But honestly, I can say that my higher power has done a work in that area, and I'm a good friend today. And if I do start to find myself gossiping, I catch it and correct it. And that is a miracle of this program, because I no longer feel shame when I then talk to that friend and pretend that I didn't just air their long, you know, I'm a good friend today. Another miracle is I don't have to tell every single person every single thought that I've ever had. I was really good at like, you're not going to go anywhere because I'm not going to stop talking. I'm going to tell you about the day I was born, every childhood trauma, that relationship, you know, and I don't have to do that today. I have a good circle of close, trusted friends that are on this journey with me that I get to share that with. And then I get to be of service to everyone else. And the last one that I'm going to close with, and this, I just need you to know that this is a miracle that I knew would never come to be. But today I love my mother. I have forgiven her. I care about her. And I look forward to seeing her. Can we stop taking questions? Yay! Are there any questions? I know, please, right? Do this poor girl a favor. I heard you guys have good questions. Yes.
Rose is over it. Keep your head up.
Aww. Thank you. You too. Yes, James.
Yes.
You are funny. You know what? I've got 3 under 3s at home. That was good. Okay, well, I'm just going to take this as a good sign that I answered all of your questions. Thank you for winning the end.